a nostalgic flashback, beautiful fantasy set design and costumes episode of Fried Rice Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Rice, and with me, as always, oh wait, and this is the Fried Rice Podcast. Let's get fried. I have fucked that up the last like four episodes. I'm so sorry, everybody. With me, as always, it's Michael. I hired a man dressed as a kangaroo to go to his house and throw a bunch of flowers and a bunch of metal rings at him, and still we couldn't kill him because he's unkillable, Larson.
That'll be Chelios to you.
Oh my God, you can't still keep doing the Chelios thing. I need to somehow put my foot down on that. With me as always, it's Austin. He hopped 3.5 hours to be here. Farrell.
Check me out at Circuit City.
Did you play the flute on the way?
I think I already said it, but I'm your host, Andy Rice. Let's get fried. God, I'm digging that music. I didn't want it to stop. I was really liking it.
Really well, background, though.
I went with fantasy music because we watched a fantasy movie today. But let's get into the What Are We Smoking? Because why not? We're smoking a couple different things. I got Hot Box, Lemon's Revenge, and I've got Xana Meteorites Project 4516. And I said this on the previous episode, but that's fine. It has a funny little thing. It's space themed. These are meteorites. They're tiny little nugs. And it says galactic phenomenon. Straight from the skies of planet Z, these meteorites are a delicacy to all Xanians. These mini buds are sure to pack an out of this world punch for any explorer. And so far, they've been pretty good. I also have some moon rocks that I've been tossing on top of some stuff. We'll see. Mike, you're kind of fragile, so I don't know if I wanted to destroy you so quickly. Austin, what are you smoking?
Oh, I have Geek Bar White Gummy Ice.
White Gummy Ice, and that's just straight nicotine, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. That's the What Are We Smoking? No music, because we haven't had that for a while. You just totally bobbed this smoke in the chamber, I think, a little bit, Mike. I mean, come on, you saw the smoke come out of my mouth right now, didn't you? Can't even fucking argue. Earlier, this is the whole time frame is going to be different because earlier doesn't technically exist because the rice balls are bonus episodes and they come out in whenever they come out. And this is now the next canonical episode of the show. So, I don't know. What have you guys been up to?
Same old, same old.
Why do you insist on us calling you Chelios? Let's get into it.
You've been trying to kill me for a year now.
Yeah.
And you've been having a little trouble doing it.
You know what? I think it's the same reason.
The same reason Chelios doesn't die.
No. Because that guy. Okay. Chelios from the movie Crank. Which, God, if this was the price of Crank, was you calling yourself Chelios for the rest of this podcast, it wasn't worth it. I'm going to retroactively go back and give it an even worse fucking grade. Because fuck that shit. It's like you're trying to keep that bit alive like he was trying to keep himself alive by injecting it with just artificial fucking adrenaline, and it just doesn't work. I hate it so much. How do you do so many things that make me hate you so much?
That is my job. Friend?
Oh, God. So it's from Crank, which we already reviewed, and they're just mad they couldn't get Crank 2, and instead we watched the stellar movie that we're going to review today,
exactly.
Warriors of Virtue.
Don't you wish we would watch Crank 2 now?
1997. So I was 10 years old when this movie came out, and you can understand I was the right age for it.
You were the right age.
I watched this in theaters, and I will... Well, okay, well, we're not... Let's not get into it just yet. What were you saying? What was your...
It was Chelios was the last thing.
God damn it. Yeah, how about you? So you said you went to the Diamondbacks game.
Yeah, I went to the Diamondbacks game last night. They won, like, 7-3. And, like, immediately, like, at the start of the game, two home runs for the Diamondbacks. And then just a ton of balls. It was just 0-0-0 all down until the eighth inning. We left early because, you know, we went to a bunch of Angels games back in the day. So we knew, like, leave, like, at the eighth inning, you'll get right out of there, which we did.
Yeah, smart.
And went home, went to the hotel that my brother and his fiance were staying at, watched the movie, and now they're getting a divorce. Not even married yet. No, yeah. My brother loved the movie, and that's because he fell asleep in the beginning.
Oh, and you just woke up when there was some sweet fight scenes going on?
No, I woke up when
it
was over.
Yeah,
it was over.
Fair enough. I am just about done with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Again, I won't say anything about the story, but it's a 10 out of 10 for me. So if you're a gamer and you were, for some reason, holding out on not playing the sequel to VII Remake, what are you doing? Get on that shit. It's very good.
Oh, speaking of gamer, that's the other thing. I was doing this morning before I came here. I actually was downloading Fallout 2 because it's free right now on...
Fallout 2?
Fallout 2 and then a new... some kind of pack that goes with it is free on Amazon this week. So if you have Prime Gaming, it's just... well, not this week, this month. So you'll have a week left after this. Yeah.
Fallout 2 is a top-down
sort
of Diablo-looking style gameplay, right?
Yeah.
It's not like 3 or 4 where it's first person. I don't know if I'd prefer, if I would prefer 2, because I don't care for 3 or 4. Call me, you know, whatever, but I'm not a big Fallout fan. I think it's too much resource collecting and slight upgrades to weapons.
Well, I'm sure they're doing it free because it's Amazon, right? And aren't they doing a Fallout series that's coming out?
Like, yeah, they are.
This month, I think, so...
that makes
sense.
That's
probably why they have it free on there right now.
Yeah. Every time they make a video game show, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to capitalize on how good Last of Us show was.
I still haven't seen that. I played the games.
That's how you do a game.
Oh, a game? It's fantastic.
I just, Ben Shapiro said it didn't have that many zombies in it, so I decided not to watch it.
Listen to Ben Shapiro while you write. Take all your advice from
that's why I didn't watch
not that many zombies in it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a show about zombies, and there's barely a single zombie in this episode. Instead, it's just about two gay guys having a gay relationship. This is what woke culture brings to you nowadays.
Shut up and show your sister.
It's
Ben.
True to the source material. They just expanded on it more because in the game, when you leave that the guy's house, that Ron.
No, it's exactly like yeah.
They find a bunch of gay boy magazines.
Right.
Well, also you find the body of his lover in a house down the line, and there's like a note to Ron Swanson's character who like left it there in case he ever left his fortified place, which he never does, and it was like, you know, I love you, whatever. So it was more subtle in the game, for sure. Because
it was more subtle, but all they did is they expanded. They did not change anything in the game. All they did is took pieces of the game that didn't have time and then just expanded those pieces out.
Yeah, I think it'd be...
as a matter of fact, they traded out, because in the DLC for Last of Us, there's the thing where Ellie and the other girl like fall in love, blah, 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 and then the girl dies. And then the second game, she's with this other chick. And they just completely subtracted that out of the show. So it's literally no different from the game.
So,
fuck you, Ben Shapiro.
Yes, Ben Shapiro. So
you know what? You too, Matt, little bitch.
In the game, it's in the game. You don't even know if he's gay. It's just you're just making assumptions. But and then it's like, well, what about Ben? They but they cut out Ellie's whole gay sub story, and that's a big deal. Well, it's still woke.
Ben, did you play the game, Ben?
I'm burning Barbies on a barbecue. I just saw the Barbie movie, and it's the most woke. I tried to enjoy it for the jokes, and there wasn't a single joke. Fucking Ben Shapiro, dude! What a joke, dude! That guy's a creep. His sister is hot, and
she's
I know
got some big
and
dirty milkers on her. Yep.
Are you actually talking about his actual sister, or are you talking about Brett Cooper?
No, his actual sister.
His actual sister. He posted like a picture of her pregnant.
Yeah.
Was like, I've been staring at these for hours.
What?
Did that really happen?
His sister's got some big dirty milkers on her for being pregnant. He's like, wow, she looks so beautiful. I've been staring at these photos for hours.
Ben Shapiro.
I used to think he was all right, and then after that, I'm like, oh, yep, I'm getting off this train.
Sister. Andy, you're going down a kangaroo hole.
That's fun. TikTok, Ben Shapiro's sister pics. Oh, is she in like a pink?
She's in, I don't know. There's
so went in detail about his wife's vagina, whether or not it's wet or dry or something.
What?
Because my wife has a very dry vagina.
He read the lyrics to Wet Ass Pussy, and he's like, my wife is a doctor, and she said that you should not have a wet vagina. And everyone online was like, bro can't make his wife wet. Fucking. Whatever. He liked Oppenheimer, though, I think. He did the whole Barbieheimer and hated Barbie. I wonder why.
Yeah, I can't imagine why he would like about the nuclear bomb stuff, but not the. Yeah.
I do like that America Ferrera was nominated for an Oscar for her role in Barbie. I don't like it was a comedy, but she killed it, right? Like she did such a good job. And have you seen the movie?
No, I have not. I've not seen Barbie yet. But I you just said America Ferrera. And that freaked me out because we were talking last week about the play you told me about.
Oh, okay. CB.
No, but when you go to the Wikipedia on that, then it's like America Ferrera was in that.
Yeah, she did a rendition of it on Broadway.
The one on Broadway was her, and there's somebody else.
We're talking about, just so this sounds like we're having a cryptic message that we're trying not to include you in. That's not the case. I told Mike about a play that I once saw called Dog Sees God, and it is a unlicensed Charlie Brown sequel. So Charlie Brown is in high school. Okay. Snoopy has gone rabid. Charlie Brown walks to Snoopy's doghouse, and he is covered in Woodstock's blood after just killing his little bird friend. And they have to put Snoopy down. And so now Charlie dealing with that, also coming out as possibly being gay, exploring his sexuality with Schroeder,
sure.
The musician kid.
Is Pigpen like a drug addict?
Pigpen. So Pigpen, in high school, is a germaphobe. He has Purell on him, like you know, hand sanitizer at all times. He's very clean.
And so they finally called Child Protective Services on his parents.
Something must have happened.
Something happened because he's all jacked up.
And he's muscular. But he's a bully. So he's Charlie Brown's friend. But if anybody calls him Pigpen, he loses his mind and he beats the shit out of him. Right? Like he makes him mad. Now, what makes this play crazy? And I know this is spoilers, but it's for a play, so it's like unless you really go out of your way. 25 years ago,
you can't even watch it.
Probably no footage of it.
Yeah, I've been looking for it.
It's tough. Like you'd have to actually go watch this play or read the script. So sorry, a little bit of spoilers, but Charlie Brown and Schroeder have they kiss, and Charlie Brown is starting to realize, oh, I might be gay. So him being high school or whatever, he outs Schroeder. I think Schroeder or Schrodinger. It's the kid. Who's the kid that plays the
piano kid?
Piano.
Blanket kid. He had the blanket.
Yeah. No, that's Linus.
That's Linus.
You're thinking of Linus, the one who plays the
piano.
I think
it's Schrodinger.
It might be Schrodinger, but yeah, I mean, I think Schrodinger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he the piano playing one. He him and Charlie Brown kiss, and then Charlie Brown when he sees Schrodinger at a party, he outs him and says like, oh yeah, well him and I are you know a thing now or whatever, which Schrodinger didn't want to tell anybody, right? He wanted to just keep it private or whatever. And when Pigpen finds out, and he's confused by what's going on, that his best friend Charlie is making out with a guy and might be gay, he goes to the music room during lunch, finds Schrodinger, and takes the piano and breaks his fingers underneath the thing, you know, the thing that slams down. He slams it down, smashes all his fingers, and then Schrodinger kills himself. That night or the night after.
But the whole thing's angst, right? I mean, his sister's in a mental institution. Well, no,
Lucy's in a mental institution. Sally, which is his sister, or I think it's Sally. She's constantly changing her personality. Every time you see her, she's in a different outfit during a different phase of what a teenager might be going through. So she's like punk, and then like goth, and then a prep, and then a you know like whatever. And that's like a commentary on things.
Peppermint Patty.
Peppermint Patty, I think, is a full-blown out lesbian. I think they address that.
Damn.
But it's
I kind of want to see this animated, not in play form.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
If they did this with the classic Peanuts animation, that's the only way to do it. Only way to do it would be...
You gotta call that place and get the script. And you know what? You want to adapt this.
You know what I think the best ending of what that would be? Is you have all this shit happens, right? You know, Schrodinger kills himself. Charlie Brown comes to terms with his sexuality. Like, all this stuff, right? They've grown up so much that by the end of the show, as they're talking, it just starts going, oh, yeah, so... Like the parents start talking, and now we know that they're adults. I just gave myself goosebumps saying that right now.
That's kind of cool.
I think that would be really cool. I just thought of it right now, but like, yeah. They're just like, oh, yeah, so that was some shit.
Right. Donate to the Patreon to make this happen.
Yeah. Dog Sees God. It's like a classic adult, Peanuts animated movie.
It's like an adult version of Rugrats All Grown Up.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be.
Which I watched a little bit of, and, you know, I watched it. Fell off a bit.
I was a big Rugrats was one of the first Nicktoons, and I was a huge Rugrats fan when I was a child. I might have been a little too old. I don't know. I think I was probably like, I gotta see what
you're the right age for Nickelodeon now, right? Oh, that's no.
That's just my personality that would give you that impression. Rugrats came
now
out.
Now we're about the right age to be producers at Nickelodeon.
Producers, yeah, exactly.
1991. So I was, I was 4 years old when Rugrats came out. So I was the right age, actually. And so, but All Grown Up came out a little bit later. That was 2003. So I was in high school when All Grown Up came out. I was too old for All Grown Up. I know that. But I still watched a few episodes. Maybe in the first season because I liked... it brought such a nostalgia. I was already craving nostalgia in high school for an earlier time. So you can only imagine where I'm at now, 30-something, where I'm just like, fuck, I just want to go back in time and be a kid again.
Did you watch the documentary?
No, I haven't.
Quiet
not
on
yet.
Set?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not yet.
Oh, man. Well, don't start because you're giving up 4 hours when you do. You cannot stop.
There's a new episode coming out.
What?
There's a fifth episode, and it's going to have more Drake in it.
Okay.
Once Andy watches it, we'll go into it further because there are some things.
There's
that,
some
like,
spoilers you can't really tell.
Out.
Yeah, yeah.
I got some problematic jokes to make as well.
Well, it's already when this episode comes out, it's going to be weeks after.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be late to the game anyway. I guess it doesn't matter if we wait maybe one more week to get into it. It's on my list. I don't know.
You don't want to be depressed, right? It's like
because I've seen YouTube.
It's all over, and they're all still rich. So
yeah, what? Some of them are still fucked up,
and their story's out, so they all have closure with it.
I don't know if that's closure though.
Like, I'm already writing a parody of the Drake and Josh theme song.
Oh God.
God, man, can I watch this before our show tonight? Like,
no, there's not time.
No. Because I don't have anything
it's,
topical.
It's a
about.
Good doc, but it's got a point of view, like most docs, you know.
Yeah,
so couldn't get Jeanette McCurdy. They couldn't. I'll tell you who's not in it, and that's Jeanette McCurdy, or Miranda Cosgrove, or Amanda Bynes. Like a bunch of Kenan Thompson's not in it.
I saw his statement. He
Josh isn't in it.
Kenan's statement on it was like he didn't know that a lot of this was happening. He had a generally good time. Even though Dan Schneider was like a producer on Kenan and Kel, it was just a credit. Like he didn't have any like say over the show. So like he's like, it breaks my heart that all this stuff was happening. Also at the same time, like, you know, I had a good experience with Nick, so I can't really, you know,
it's all like a re-manifestation of the Me Too thing. Like, now it's like Me Too for kids.
Yeah.
The Diddy thing is happening.
Well, and,
like,
it's not, and once again, be clear, it wasn't really Dan on most of it.
He was just an enabler.
He was an asshole enabler.
Well, I don't know. You guys are now giving spoilers of all these horrific crimes that happened to.
We're just telling you what not is. It's not.
I saw there's a guy, a few people I follow on YouTube that kind of do deep dives into. Like stuff that you would like. One of the things I saw was about Dan Schneider, and it was like how much of a creep he was. So I saw someone on YouTube already kind of do a deconstruction of him. I know that he's weird, and I know that he's got a feet thing, and I know that, like, I don't know. But ever since I saw that Ned's Declassified podcast that they have now,
that one's gnarly.
I saw a clip, and I've never watched Ned's Declassified. I was too old for that, but I knew of it. And I saw a clip, and the chick was talking about giving the dude a blowjob back when they were on the show together. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's just like Brady Bunch and Partridge Family, like all those young actors. They just get into some shenanigans. Except Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle. That dude, he, from what I've seen, he never drank, never did drugs. Yeah, Frankie Muniz never drank, never did drugs, got out of the acting game at an appropriate time.
Became a NASCAR driver.
He invested his money. Is he a NASCAR driver?
He's a NASCAR driver now.
Currently?
Yeah, like it's all, yeah.
I did not know that.
He made a statement. It's like, I'm fucking so lucky, basically, that I didn't have to deal with any of this shit.
Yeah, it pops up first. So when you look up Frankie Muniz, it's 49th 30th. In the Xfinity series.
Well, I did not finish.
Well, 49th.
No, that's where he's at in the series. It tells you he finished 33rd, 30th. Is that right there on the bottom? He's on the bottom. Did not finish.
He was just in Phoenix.
Dang. Damn.
How many racers are there? That's 30. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 30. So how many people were behind him? Is he in the middle of this one?
Nah, not the middle. Towards the bottom.
No, dude.
Oh, there's 67. Yes, he's in the middle. Yeah, right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Still in the middle.
Damn, I closed that.
Still in the middle.
67.
Yep.
Plus, no, wait. This is weird.
What?
61, 2, 3...
Oh, Ty.
T64.
Okay. So that's right. Yeah, it's still skips. There's 67 drivers in the
series.
Dude,
they're all a lot of Chevrolet.
Yeah, Frankie Muniz.
Where is he? 49?
Well, he was.
Yeah, Ford.
Yeah, 49.
Okay, cool. Let's.
But great. That's great for him. He got, you know, out of the kids' game, kids' acting game.
Yeah, dude. Fuck. I would love to be a race car driver.
Now everyone's focused on Diddy.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever's going on there, who knows?
It's the media was trying to destroy Kanye, but he was just too crazy, so they're like, fall back to Diddy.
Yeah.
Bro, that...
It's just craziness.
Well, no, but the thing is, Kanye might have irredeemably... Like, how can you work with him anymore? He put on a mask, a hood, went on, he went on the Alex Jones show and started... talking about how much he loves Hitler.
Yeah.
And Alex Jones at some... Alex Jones...
when he got to too much
had
Alex
to be
Jones.
Like, oh, yeah. yeah, listen. It's not that you don't actually love Hitler, right?
I mean, you don't want to be saying these things. Believe me. I mean, I got in so much trouble for Sandy Hook.
Yeah. I mean, fake actors. Crisis actors.
Would you like some male vitality?
It won't turn your frogs gay, if you know what I mean.
When that's your voice of reason, you might have gone too far.
He's literally the guy that was like, they're interdimensional vampire pedophiles. They got Black Hawk helicopters. They're putting chemtrails in the air. And they're thinking the fucking frogs gay.
Yeah. Whoa, Kanye.
Whoa, Kanye. Yeah. But no, it's all an act, dude. You know it's all an act.
Kanye?
Alex Jones' thing is that he just checks everything on the bingo card, so when he does get something right, he's like, see, I told you.
Yeah, but what about Kanye? He's specifically going out, he's being like, it's like, all right, let's talk about, no, listen to me, I'm fucking Kanye, and Hitler wasn't a bad dude, he had some great points, I love Hitler, he's a great guy.
Yeah,
Don't take me out of context, internet.
He knows how to manipulate the game. He's been up at the top with like the Kardashians. So with all those agents and managers and publicists, he just knows how to manipulate shit. And everyone, even though he said all that shit, he still pops up in the news every day.
Have you seen like what is he doing? This chick, the Bianca chick, is like, what the hell,
sucking
man?
His dick on a boat.
I know, it's insane.
What?
He just takes her out naked everywhere, man.
Like
she goes,
boat
if you any
Venice.
Pictures of them together, she's like all half naked and he's like dressed up. It's
Kanye
insane.
And Bianca. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't hit images.
Oh, shit.
Every time. Look at how she's dressed every time. It's insane.
Yeah. And he's always just in all black. I mean,
he looks kind of cool right
it
there.
It does. Yeah. It's a cool look for him. If he didn't look
well, it's a cool
so
look
much.
For her, too. It's just out of place.
God, usually. Yeah, that's what she goes like, out as all
yeah,
the time?
Out in public, like to Starbucks.
I'm not complaining.
No. Man. Those are actually fairly... You must have Safe Search on.
No. Oh, the pillow thing. Yeah. I've heard of that. And they were just, what, is that the Met Fair? Was that just, or Met, or were they just, no, that's just cut.
That's Italy, just walking down the streets in Italy.
What?
Yeah, just walking down the street naked with a, she's got a bodysuit on, but still, it's just
weird.
She? Yeah, it's a bodysuit. You asking me, Andrew,
you're right. Who am I questioning? Of course she's got a bodysuit. If you knew that there was a naked somebody... Here's Frankie Muniz on his top five.
I haven't seen.
I'm trying to hear the voice though. Yeah, that's.
I haven't seen like a replay, but in my head I was alongside him coming out of two, and I gave him room because I'm a little scared to get too close, and there was yelling at me to get closer, but he just kind of jetted down a little bit and got into us. Fortunately, we both saved it there, but I had a tire go down. And turned into turn three and just went straight, hit the wall. I really thought we were done, you know, based on how the car felt. But got back out there, we were really tight, we made some changes, we stopped I think four times, and the car just kept getting better and better. And once I had the confidence that nothing was gonna break, you know what I mean, I was throwing some good lap times down, and we got top five, you know.
Dude, good for Malcolm, bro. Like, I'm just imagining this is actually just Malcolm.
At that time,
from
he wasn't
Malcolm
in the middle, right?
And he's just, oh, that's good, Mike, because he's top five.
Yeah.
That was good. That was a good math joke, sort of. But, like, it's just like he just maybe gets away from the whole Brainiac thing, like, because he sort of did in the show a little bit. He sort of departed from, like, wanting to be a brain all the time to just wanting to be normal. And so I think being a NASCAR driver...
It's about as normal as it gets.
Sort of, yeah. Well, let's get into the movie that we're that
if
we
if we must
here. If we must no let's get into
poor
it.
Andy.
So just to preface, we're
destroying
this,
your childhood today.
No, I mean, look, you can have your opinion, but just to preface this, Mike earlier this week said to me at work, he said, "Andy, this is the worst movie we've ever watched on the show," and that is a bold fucking claim, because not only, and I was going to bring up Sleepwalk Kill, but that's not fair. That's a low budget little whatever. I was going to bring up World Heroes Mission, and then I was like, no, that's just an anime. People probably liked it. We've watched If You Don't Stop ... You'll Go Blind, and you're saying that Warriors of Virtue is worse?
No, what I'm saying is, as a movie, because I don't consider that a movie. That's some comedians got together and spent $800,000 making some bullshit. This is a big budget movie. This is supposed to be...
I didn't even look at the budget. Keep going. Yeah.
The budget, no. I can tell you, I have it written down here. The budget was $56 million
in 1997. Wait. It says 35 here.
Okay, well, that was the production budget. The total budget's 56.
Oh, for going off of marketing.
Right.
So that's a typical rule of thumb I heard off of Mr. Sunday Movies is you take a movie's budget and you double it, sometimes triple it, for marketing.
Well, this one was only about a third more for marketing. They did undermarket it because they didn't have to spend a lot of money.
You got to adjust this for inflation, too.
Yeah, $56 million then is a $120 million movie now. Now, do you think this was a great $120 million movie?
If you look at what it went into, yeah. I think this is a little bit of spoilers, but I think the set design...
I agree. That's the only positive thing I
remember. And the costumes,
yes,
and the puppetry, and the animatronics or whatever those like guys are. That's some Jim Henson level quality.
$497
wasn't bad, yes. That was some Jim Henson quality puppets, those two characters for some reason. I thought it looked.
No, it looks
awesome.
Amazing. It looks amazing.
Love.
You thought the movie looked amazing? Half of it's shot like PlayStation 1 cutscenes.
You can't. But
that's directorial. All right. He's talking about set. The set.
And I'm talking about if
the puppets and the set were great.
I thought
great.
My PlayStation
were...
was lagging when I watched this, dude.
If you saw this on the big screen back in the day, with I would imagine just probably the best quality you could get at the time, those forested areas with the light rays going through, like, I really liked the choices that I guess the cinematographer and the set designer got together and decided to do, because like there's some like light, there's some godly light beams that come through at certain parts of this forest that make me want to be like, damn, I would love to live in a little like treehouse in this area. Like,
that's the set design. The set
design's amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Set design is I think if you're gonna tell me that it had a big budget, I see it in the set design. I also see it in the costumes. The ruse looked amazing. You can't say that they didn't.
No.
They looked great. The ruse looked great. All four of the ruse, five of the ruse.
They just had no reason. This is based... I agree. The ruse looked great. Why the fuck were they ruse? This is based on a Chinese old fucking... They don't have kangaroos in China. There's nothing... It makes no sense.
I trusted your judgment, Andy, because the beginning was like... I was like, okay, this is going good. This guy's... You know, doing kung fu in the kitchen. He's wasting a lot of food. As a person who worked in the restaurant industry, I'm like, that's a lot of food he's throwing around, just landing on the floor. But, and like, and then the football game, it's like another childhood movie of Andy's.
And the one actor in the movie we all know, one actor in this movie that you know, is in that football scene and no other scenes.
Jimmy Hopkins from Bully? Because that's how I saw him at.
Warren Moon.
Who's Warren Moon? Oh, the chick?
No, Warren Moon was an NFL quarterback who played the coach. That's the only recognizable.
I watched this with Dario last night. Yeah. I turn to Dario and I say, after the coach says, I've played a game or two. I think I know what I'm talking about. I turn to Dario and I go, is this anybody?
Yeah.
Is this a fucking NFL guy? Is this some dude? And he's like,
starting
I don't
NFL
know.
Quarterback
and then we just we just moved on.
Yeah,
we had no fucking idea. That really didn't age well.
He's a starting quarterback
for
like 20
years.
It led
me on like really well. I'm like, okay, Andy's childhood movie. This is probably going to be good. Yeah. Like it's promising, like a cheesy kind of 90s kids movie. Yeah. And I was like, this is going to be good. And then the Tao book that he had. Yeah. I'm like, okay, it's going to lead somewhere.
And then the story is so bad.
He's going to get sucked into some like fantasy world. I'm like, great. And then I see the first kangaroos, and I'm like, what the fuck, dude? It dropped like 3-letter ratings.
First one playing the flute, right?
These things need
to
be
my wife
destroyed.
Goes, why is a rat playing the flute? Because it's from behind, and you can't see them. All right,
well, first off, the whole movie, anytime I saw their tails, which there's a lot of just shots of tails.
Yeah.
But Dario and I were watching, and I made the mistake of being like, ah, it's a dick. And the rest of the movie, if you just think of their tails or ears as dicks, when their face or body isn't attached, there's a lot of weird, weird shit that happens in this movie. So we definitely made this movie inappropriate. But let's go back to just the beginning real quick. That food ninja montage scene was delightful.
Yes.
I loved it. It's like it was funny. It was a cool showcase of martial arts from a character we don't ever see again. Wait, no, we do. Sorry, at the very end.
At the very end,
I forget. But yeah, Ming is just cool. He was like a cool. I liked his character. I did not like how much time he spent alone in a room with the boy on his bed sitting with him.
Yeah, what's their relationship again? Is that his...
I think they're fucking. I hope not, but I think it's some Epstein shit if we're getting it.
Yeah,
they
just let this little kid into the kitchen and talk to one of the cooks. You can't do that.
I thought that
get
maybe
the fuck out of here.
I thought that maybe I looked down for a second and didn't see why he was in the back of this restaurant, and so I didn't really question it, but why was he back? Did it explain why he went back
there?
Go
to a private room.
Yeah.
That chef's got it made, too. Like, first of all, get this fucking kid off my line.
Yeah.
Second of all, let's go to my bedroom above the kitchen so I give you this magical book.
That looks like a butthole.
That traumatizes you.
Yeah, looks like
a... That kid goes through so much shit in the story.
Bro, and the fact that he... Okay, so he goes to his magical chef friend... who is associated with the Book of Tao, which brings you to Tao, maybe, whatever. Anyway.
Whatever.
The kid, you find out, is lame in one leg. He has a brace on it, and which is sad. And he can't play football, and he really wants to. He like loves the game.
Seems to be a theme with the legs and the kids, doesn't there?
I was going to say, is this a recurring thing? Is there a third movie with a gimpy kid as the star?
Shit, yeah. I forgot we just watched...
Mackenzie, he's in a wheelchair, right, yeah.
Shit, I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either. It just occurred to me that it's the same.
Yeah, so he goes to the football game, and he thought he was going to be the water boy, but he's not. His friend is, but he tells the quarterback like some secret thing, and the quarterback, So, okay. What did I write down? First thing I wrote down was broken anal beads. It literally opens with a bunch of anal beads falling on the floor, and I'm like, been there. And then I put, hey, look, it's Shogun. It's teppanyaki. Yeah. It's like when you're sitting at the table, the guy flipping around rice.
The restaurant.
I bet he's going to say, you ever see an egg roll? He's going to, you know, roll around an egg or something, right? I put, so the quarterback, now, I know he's the bad kid, quote unquote, right? But if we're just talking about quarterback skills, this is what happened. He hears from a kid he doesn't like some secret information. He's like, psh, whatever, kid. He goes out on the field. He sees the thing that the kid says happen. He then, in the moment, on the fly, puts his pride aside, accepts the help from someone he doesn't really care about, adjusts the call, wins the game. That kid's going places as a quarterback. I'm saying he's got the good instinct. He's a good QB.
Listens when he needs to.
Listens when he needs to. Put his pride aside.
Yeah.
Even acknowledged it later
when
the kid asked for it. So he's really not that bad of a kid. In fact, I would imagine that if this gimpy kid could get across that pole, I would even, like, it even shows afterwards that him not doing it would still lead to some of them being his friend. But I think if he had gotten across the pole, I think that jock guy would have been like, hell yeah, brother. And gave him a high five. I don't think he would have at that point been like, huh, no, stupid.
No, just more typical jock, right?
More typical jock. So I don't, I put the, I just put that the kid, the older brother from Home Alone is going places because that's what he kind of looked like.
He looks like straight up Jimmy Hopkins from Bully. Yeah. And him walking across the pipe like that, because that's a mechanic in the game you see a lot. Down to the earring, down to the Letterman jacket, like that's Jimmy Hopkins.
For Mike, did you ever play Bully?
No.
It's the guys that made GTA made a game where you play as the kid who bullies this kid around in this movie, 100%, just a few years younger. I'd say like a 12-year-old version of him, and you go to boarding school.
It's kid GTA, basically.
You run around, you bully people, you prank people, you do little side quests for people. Do you smuggle drugs?
It's like they can never make that game again. They even came out and said, like, with the climate and everything about bullying and shit, they just can't ever make that game. So it's a gem. I bought it recently for my PS5. Beat it. Got every trophy. Got the platinum trophy for it.
Oh, hell yeah! Hell yeah! So
it's the Carmageddon version.
So I watched this with Dario.
Yeah.
Dario points
out. The kung
out,
fu.
Dario points out that the main character, Ryan, his best friend, the black kid, is named Chuck, which is short for Charles. Mm-hmm. So Dario, he's like, naturally, Charlie Brown.
Sure.
Is what he called the Black Charlie. And so the rest of the movie, he's just calling him Charlie Brown the whole time. Just speaking of Charlie Brown, I know that we brought that up earlier, but I wrote it down. See, Charlie Brown, I put asterisk next to it because it's not my note. And I'm like, you know what I mean.
you know what I mean.
Yeah. We found, the Peppermint Patty calls Charlie Chuck. So being called Chuck would be Charlie. And then we don't know if he's bald or not because he keeps a hat on the whole time.
Yeah.
So further research is required, is what I put down. I would say that when Ryan goes back to the restaurant for the second time before he goes, so he meets the bullies. Mm-hmm. They tell him like, oh yeah, you did really help us win the game. Thanks for that. If you want to be one of our friends, meet us here at 8:00. We're going to go like do some cool stuff. So his buddy's like, it sounds like a trap. Which, hey, is not a great attitude to have because no risk, no reward. You don't go out and meet strangers in weird places at night. What are you going to ever learn anything or do anything?
Could tell some people, though. Could have told his buddy at the restaurant.
Yeah. Could have told his, like, exactly. Hey, Mr. or hey, Ming. What do you think? I'm going to go meet these dudes at 8:00. They've been bullies to me ever since I met them forever. And my buddy says it's probably a trap. like, what do you think I should do? And then Ming would probably be like, well, I mean, yeah, go. Be careful. And if they ask you to do anything that you're physically not able to because of your lame leg, just don't do it.
Don't bring this priceless artifact book with you either.
Don't bring this thing I just gave you, my family heirloom butthole book, like, with you, bro, in a JanSport. But when he goes back to the restaurant before talking to Ming, he sort of isn't welcome. Do you notice that? So, like, the first time he's there, Ming's there, just having fun, flipping food around, and it's like, he's totally just in the back, Ryan's in the back, just having a good time.
Well, the natural progression would be after school, 3:30, 4 in the afternoon, you're going to the place.
Now you're going to dinner rush.
And now you're going
to
dinner rush.
So, yeah, he's walking into dinner rush, and I can understand, fuck that shit, yeah, having a kid walking around. And especially, he caused a guy to trip mm-hmm. and throw all that food in the air. Ming catches it. Now, obviously, it was sped up from slowed down footage.
It's not Spider-Man.
I put down, is that better than the Spider-Man catch?
Well, the Spider-Man catch was real.
The Spider-Man catch was real, and it took
I have trouble believing it still. Do you still?
I believe it.
I think they used strings. I think it was
no. They said it took him hundreds of tries,
hundreds of takes.
He caught it. He caught it. He did it. It's a well documented thing.
Well documented, I know, but it seems so impossible.
I want a compilation of all the takes. They exist somewhere.
Oh, it's got
to
exist.
They must. I'm sure that they have even the ones like leading up to the one, the catch or whatever. But this Asian dude, Ming, he caught more stuff in a more impressive way. But if you watch that, what I think they did was they filmed it at a much slower speed with dropping the things down with strings or whatever, right? Yeah. But it's still cool how he, like, it's all, I think, still he's practically catching the stuff, which is still cool. The martial arts, you can't deny, were good in this, and there's a reason for that.
They're all Chinese.
Did you look up?
Yeah. Here's the list.
Of what he directed?
No.
Okay, so.
Actors, though.
So, real quick, before we get into this, Ronnie Yu,
yeah.
He directed,
Lots.
Well, no, not much. Not in what that we would recognize. A bunch of Asian stuff.
Yeah.
He did Legacy of Rage, which is Brandon Lee's first movie.
Oh, yes. Bride of Chucky, too.
He did Bride of Chucky, but then he did Fearless.
Oh, and Freddy vs. Jason as well?
Yeah.
Oh, and Freddy vs. Jason, I forgot about that. But he did Fearless. He did that Jet Li martial arts movie. Mm-hmm. So he's something. He has of a director, you know, like he's not the best.
No, but some of that stuff comes up. It's so interesting. Like my movies for this week, one of them has Jet Li, and it's how that happens almost every week where we're watching. It's and not from this. It had nothing to do with this. But one of my movie for next week actually has Jet Li.
Okay,
it
do you want
randomly?
Hold on. You want to know something that's even more coincidental and random?
What?
Do you remember last week when I was talking about meeting a kid from the Disney Channel original movie?
And he was an asshole?
And he was an asshole to me? Well, check this out.
He's dead.
I killed him yesterday.
Main kid, Mario Yedia.
Yeah.
He's in a movie called Under Wraps.
Right.
Which is the movie I was talking about. So Under Wraps came out. And I, the same year as the movie we're watching right now.
Yeah.
So I'm 10 years old. I go into Nickel Arcade, and I meet this kid, the kid next to the kid that started the movie we just watched.
Really?
So the fact that, and I didn't know this when I recommended the movie. Yeah. So the fact that I talked about last week, this one with the glasses right here is the one that was a jerk to me. Now we watch the movie that his co-star started.
His only two movies.
Really what we have to do then to complete the trifecta would be to see a Clara Bryant movie, but
it's good luck on all these people.
I don't even know, bro. Yeah. Like a lot of these are just
Buffy.
TV. Oh, Buffy.
Five episodes recurring.
Who's Molly?
I don't know. Five episodes though.
Who the fuck is Molly, bro?
Well, that's out of how many episodes of Buffy are there?
There's a lot, but five episode arc. Does she play? Is that
Lots
the one that turns into a witch? I'm looking for a movie that she might have been in. She hasn't been in a single movie, bro.
It's all TV.
Under Wraps. Here, look. La Montre Perduto.
What?
The Lost Lover.
Novel.
Oh, God. I don't really know if I really want to watch
it. No, I was going to say, you're, this is a bad rabbit hole, Andy, that you're in that's not
tells
good.
A story of a troubled love and a frozen love made so deep sorrow started with the death of a car accident of their four-year-old son. Oh, no.
No, no.
Their sleepless teenage daughter, Daffy, who observes them with keen eyes, trying to figure out why her mom seems so absent. No, actually, the more I read... Sounds it may be interesting. I don't know. The Lost Love. All right, that's not what we're talking about. All right, so hey, you're distracted.
I didn't get a chance distracted. To pick a movie. I was just blown away by this one.
Okay. Blown away.
I'm scrambling.
So I put Better Than Spider-Man Catch. But anyway, we get to the bully and his friends, and they go down some tunnel that should not be open to the public. They find this whirlpool of water, which would be so fucking cool to see in real life. They, the bully crosses this sketchy fucking beam that even for him, he should feel is a little bit too much.
Right there. It's the first photo, isn't it?
Yeah. No, that's the ruse fighting. Anyway, homeboy Ryan falls into this whirlpool. And lands in Tau, the mystical place where the rest of the movie takes place. He's rescued by Aru, which are these mystical anthropomorphic kangaroo warriors. They're very cool. The costumes look great. It's all mythical Chinese inspired or mythical.
I find the costumes terrifying for a little kid, though.
Okay, now. At the time, look at the Ninja Turtle costumes from the live-action Ninja Turtle costumes. Those are terrifying from a certain perspective if you weren't a Ninja Turtles fan. Like, if you just saw someone walking around in that costume with no context other than...
No context.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to this no context. You're just seeing a kangaroo warrior, and you're like, I don't like
terrifying.
It.
Yeah.
Those were bright, but Ninja Turtles were bright and colorful and fun, and these were serious, but like...
Their faces were even looking. They looked like, mean.
It could have been any other animal. Yeah. It could have been anything. It could have been turtles, honestly.
Yeah.
This movie wanted to be the next Turtles.
Yeah. A little bit, but I like the choices. But then again, maybe I'm just nostalgic for it. So he gets taken to Tau, which is a world where everyone sort of lives in peace, except there's a warlord guy named Komodo, played by. Now, do you know who this is? Have you seen Braveheart?
I pointed out he looked like Sebastian Stan a little bit.
Kind of does. Have you seen Braveheart?
Been so long.
Have you seen Braveheart?
Yeah, I've seen Braveheart. But it's been years.
Well, I remember them pulling all their dicks out. That's about it.
No, that doesn't happen. They do moon the other army at some point.
Oh, yeah, mooned them. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I gave them the coat.
Are you talking about Angus?
No. It's Robert the Bruce is one of the guys that teams up with William Wallace to help... fight for independence, but I don't know if he... Well, anyway...
Komodo's Angus McFadden.
Sure, yeah. I thought you were asking, is the character... Well, that also sounds like a Braveheart character.
Okay, his name does sound like a Braveheart
character. That's what I'm saying. No, it's not Angus McFadden, whoever character that was from Braveheart.
Yeah, okay.
It's the actor's Angus McFadden. Yes, okay, yes. Yeah, yeah. And he played Robert the Bruce in Braveheart. And... he also played a few... He's in Saw 3 as one of the main dudes. And that's all I know him from. And so that's all he's been in. Oh! And then he played Robert the Bruce in a movie called Robert the Bruce?
I didn't even know that existed.
What?
King of Scots in the 14th century.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, I think he's the most over-the-top villain that's ever been in a movie, and I'm here for it.
So edgy. Super edgy.
Super edgy.
There's some genuinely terrifying moments from this guy. Like, when the kid is running away, and he turns the corner and goes face-to-face with with Komodo, and Komodo just starts screaming before the kids start screaming, and they start screaming together. That's one of the most terrifying uses of that trope that I've seen in a movie. He's over the top. He looks like a Power Ranger, sort of, with the shoulder pads.
Like a Power Ranger combined with a Mortal Kombat.
He's a
Scorpion, Reptile, Sub-Zero, something.
Something mixed with, that's exactly what it is. He is sucking the life force out of the planet and using it to stay immortal. He has a Lord of the Rings-esque style evil army that he can send out to do his bidding. He has these henchmen that are, say what you will about the choices made in this movie, but those henchmen are memorable. The little Tweedledee, Tweedledum guy, the previous general that used to be, I guess, part of the Tau village people, and then that chick from X-Men 2 with the nails. I'm assuming it's the same X-Men 2 mutant who was worked on by Stryker in X-Men 2. With, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, but that's
the adamantium
not... Yeah, that's,
nails that come out of her.
Oh, God.
Interesting comparison, but...
But, I mean, that's exactly what she kind of... another Asian chick using long, sharp nails to kill people.
Reminded me of the chick from the Crow movie. The main guy.
Oh, which Crow movie? Crow 2?
The first one. The only good one.
I mean, Crow, City of Angels starred the chick who played Trini in the Yellow Power Ranger, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, before she died in a car accident.
Yeah, and Salvation had Kirsten Dunst. I'm not watching those. I was going to recommend those today to be an asshole, but I'm not.
Actually, I have all three. I was going to rewatch them. I was even going to maybe try the show again.
The story surrounding the comic itself, I just watched a video on. It's pretty tragic, but also amazing.
I just ordered the comic. Because I watched the trailer for the new The Crow, which I don't normally watch trailers, but I was like, I know what The Crow is. I know what's up. Someone's going to die. He's going to die, and he's going to have to revenge him and his chick. And, it's not a remake, because I don't know if he's playing Eric Draven, because I think The Crow can just inhabit anybody.
But usually when they do the title and don't change it, it's a remake. Usually.
I didn't look that up.
They don't add reimagining at the end.
I hope it's not a remake. I hope it's a new The Crow, because that's how it should be.
Bill Skarsgård, yeah.
But we'll see if he's Eric Draven or not. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Eric Draven, so I guess they're
it's a remake.
They reboot when you can literally every other The Crow... Every other The Crow.
I know, it can be different.
Wait, am I wrong? Is City of Angels also Eric Draven? No, see? Ash Corbin.
Right.
And The Crow Salvation with Kirsten Dunst is Nathan Randall? No, that's not him. Who the fuck?
It's not Eric Draven, though.
Eric Mabius. Who's Eric Mabius? Who did he play in this? Alex Corbis. Oh, so I guess you're more likely to be Alex Corvus than you are... or Ash Corbin, Alex Corvus,
right.
Eric Draven...
And then Eric Draven again, right?
You could have picked anybody! You could have made it... You also could have made it a black dude or an Asian dude. It didn't have to be another white guy. This is one of the few times where that's not going to piss people off, because all you have to do is
It depends what they make it about. If they make it the same story again, I can see what you're saying. If they go somewhere different... But
even
the whole thing about The Crow,
it has to be
the creator of The Crow worked on this comic it was a comic book, it worked on it for 10, 15 years or so. And it started because his girlfriend died in a drunk driving accident, someone killed her. So the whole story is The Crow is him, and The Crow is him killing, all the enemies he kills is parts of himself that he hated because he blamed himself for her dying, and so on and so forth. There's a whole Fun Boy, Tintin, those are all just graffiti artists that he saw in Detroit, saw their name, and he used those names as the names of the enemies.
That's cool. I'm actually going to just, I'm like
you
I said,
said
I just ordered
the comic, right?
And so
there's a bunch of stuff they didn't use in the original movie when they adapted the first movie. There's a there's like this skull cowboy man that like talks shit to him in his visions throughout the comic book. Yeah,
the and crow, they filmed that?
The, no, they didn't film it. They there's a screen test for it, and they were like, we're not going to use that in the movie. And
so
they had
use
the guy
a lot of that in the new movie. Yeah, that's
the guy from like Hills Have Eyes. His face looks really goofy. That he was gonna play that, I think. Yeah, a lot of lore behind Crow.
I mean, I mean, and the fact that Brendan Lee died.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of lore. This, yeah.
It's kind of crazy too.
And the original movie is actually pretty. They really do stick to the manga on that one.
Well, but then they had to. Wasn't it the end of it though? Was kind of screwed up, right? Because he died. During filming, and they had to like go back and try and figure out
digitally
how to
do everything. Yeah,
this is who you were thinking of. Bailey,
yeah.
She's from yes. One of my favorite. Oh well, she's from Crank High Voltage.
Yes,
if we were to watch that,
yes.
But
Southland
Tales, which
that's
I wish
so
was
good.
On Tubi. I don't think it is
so good.
If it was, then I think I'd have to veto another. No, I'm just kidding. We would do a vote.
We found out what we've done on your votes.
Holy shit.
It is on there.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm recommending that. That's one of the best fucking movies
it's a great
ever.
Movie. No, it's a great movie. I've seen it. It's good.
Dude, that's...
We are kind of disarmed because Crank 2 only has 2 days left on Tubi.
Yeah, we can't really do it anymore.
That's okay.
Sorry,
I do have the DVD
It'll
copy.
It'll be back. It'll
yeah,
be back.
It's okay. We
that's
we
not
just...
one that'll... I'll tell you another great movie if you haven't seen it. That God Bless America is amazing. It's,
oh.
It's kind of terrifying.
Oh,
but it's
that's
amazing.
Okay, let's get back to Warriors of Virtue.
Must we?
Yes, we must. So, all blah blah blah. They meet a like an old kung fu Asian master guy. You're introduced to the Warriors of Virtue. So each of these roos, these giant anthropomorphic kangaroo warriors, are they have a.
Did you write them down? Because I have them. If you didn't, you can. You can get them off here.
Well, no, if you've got, you can read them off.
Okay, it's Yun, the warrior of water and virtue of benevolence. Yi, the warrior of metal and virtue of righteousness. Lai, the warrior of wood and virtue of order. Qi is the warrior of fire and virtue of wisdom. And Sun, which is the warrior of earth and virtue of loyalty.
Can you tell me which one sounds like the precursor guys from Jack and Daxter?
No, I can't tell you. Listen.
Bring me 2,000 precursor orbs.
That was the water one.
The water
one. Oh, real quick. I don't like that this, before he gets there, I don't like this kid sitting on this grown man's bed. And then him saying so close to his face the word wood didn't really sit right with me.
There's a few of those instances in this movie.
And then make hot dogs out of our wieners was a quote that somebody said. And I just put make hot dogs out of our wieners and I just attributed to the documentary.
Okay,
while you're on that note, wait, while you're talking about the language.
I put make hot dogs out of our wieners and I put from quiet on
I
set.
I thought I heard that. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to rewind this and watch more of this movie than I need to.
My wife is sitting there, unfortunately, in the corner going, she's trying to play a game on her phone instead of watch this movie. Because it's like, but then, speaking of the language in this movie, how it works, and the writing, it's like, because about, after that, when he's explaining to the kid about the warriors of virtue, and he says, their strength is in their come.
Yeah.
It's very clearly come that he says. But it's not.
Me.
It's kun or kun or whatever. But when you're
worse.
Writing this, why would you not come up with a word that was different to use in context?
Dario and I had a lot of fun with that.
Their strength is in their come.
There was kung all over the place, dude. He was sitting on a grown man's bed when this was happening. Was this also the Asian? It's just like he sat on a lot of old dudes' beds, a lot of guys that are like 20 years to 45 years older than him. And they talk about kung, talking about wood. And then you just see like kangaroo wieners everywhere. I mean, okay. So maybe there's a lot of stuff that might be inappropriate. But then you get classics like Let's Make Like Tom and Cruise.
Oh, wait, I got
that
one.
That was a good
There's another one.
Line.
Wait, what's the other one? Shit. Oh, Kangaroo Stew. I'm going to make kangaroo stew. The writing was just all just kangaroo puns. It was like over and over.
The kangaroo stew one was pretty good because he goes, I learned the recipe of kangaroo stew. It's to chop you guys up into a bunch of pieces, add the blah, 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 and then a pinch of whatever. And I was like, that's clever. And then he drops them in a fucking pit full of blades that they somehow don't get cut up by, but they're hanging on by a thread. That was a dramatic, cool kind
of
scene.
I'm just saying the writing of the puns around all the things are very
great.
There was some brutality in it too when when he sends his whole army into that village and then like those people are running away and they fall down and they just have their spikes and they're just and then he just cuts to a kid screaming.
They murdered a bunch of people. Bunch of people die in this. I like the set design. The fire guy is the wisdom dude, and I think he does something incredibly stupid at one point. I forget exactly what it was. I wish I remembered. I didn't write it down. I put that the bad guy was killing it as a bad guy. I like his motivation. Finally, just a bad guy that I totally understand 100%, where he goes, he's got a hot blonde chick that he likes. He's got this life force that keeps him young and immortal. So, of course, you need life force. He realizes that the planet is running out of life force, so he's going to need to go somewhere where there's more life force, right? So it makes sense that when a newcomer comes to, and with the Book of Destiny or whatever the fuck, yeah, you're going to want that shit. The Manuscript of Power, you're going to want that shit. I don't think, what did he do wrong necessarily? Other than, I guess, kill all those villagers. But like,
kill all those people, what's the problem?
What would have been the harm of him coming to our world?
You know, I've noticed this lately, Andy. You many times come out on the side of the bad character in these movies.
You say bad.
Yeah. Oh, can we get him to agree that Alicia is the villain?
Yeah.
The woman is the villain in this?
Which one's Alicia?
Like the chick that like betrayed him, wearing all white, and then
she's definitely.
Then she turns into a hot, but also just chameleon-eyed the rest of the movie. The whole time. Her one eye's going this way, one eye's going that way.
You know who she ends up? You know who she is? What she's been in?
Marley?
She's been in Planet... She was in the Planet Terror.
Okay.
She was in Never Been Kissed, Death Proof, and Bubble Boy. She's been in a few things you would know her from.
Every 7 or 8 years, yeah.
And also Sugar and Spice, I believe.
Rampage!
Now, Never Been Kissed is something that happened at my high school. We had a journalist go undercover... as a student for a year at my high school, and he wrote a book about it. I never met him. I saw him in passing a few times.
Oh, look who's in that, though.
Who?
It's our boy.
It's our boy.
David Arquette.
He plays the cool older brother. I remember that. Dude, David Arquette's the man. What's up, David? If you're listening. What's he been in lately? The Good Half. I'm listening to a book called The Dark Half by Stephen King. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So now we're in Tau. We meet all the characters. We meet all the warriors of virtue. They get back together. They're ready to fight. We get some very fast-paced, for this kind of style of movie, fight scenes. Even Dario pointed that out.
Look at the Ninja Turtle
movies, and you see how slow those dudes are moving in those suits. The fight scenes in these movies are pretty high speed.
Some of them are very Power Rangers, though. You can literally see the same moves as Power Ranger moves.
When I did see the army coming, I was like, here come the putties.
Yeah.
Michael J. Anderson is in this. He, of course, is the dwarf from, is it Carnival? Or Twin Peaks and Carnival.
And Carnival, yeah.
And Mulholland Drive. So, he plays a funny... what the fuck? That's a real tattooed guy.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. The Enigma is his name. That's what it's like. Isn't it crazy?
I did not realize he was really tattooed. I thought it was makeup every time I was seeing him and stuff. Yeah. Huh.
I think that has to be.
It's like a corrupted Blue Man Group file.
That has to be real.
I believe it says performer, actor, museum, place.
He plays
undergone extensive body, including horn implants. Yeah, that's real.
Oh, yeah, shit.
That's real. Look at him now, though.
Oh, man, that's gross.
Yeah. Horn implants. spikes out his front.
Oh, he's a sword swallower, too?
Yeah.
Of course. You gotta have something up your sleeve.
And a harmonica player. There's some, you know, that's not a combination you see very often.
I don't like it, bro.
Look at his eyes.
Oh, dude, his eyes.
Yep.
They're dark and gross. And I like it. I actually like the eyes.
It's like that one customer we deliver to that has the eyes like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That, he needs to be more ripped, though, the Enigma. What are you doing, man?
What are you doing,
with just this average body? That doesn't make... If you're going to look like this...
Oh, Simon Whistler.
Who?
The Enigma machine. Oh, yeah.
The Enigma machine. The totally Enigma different,
machine. Yes. Great YouTuber. He has, like, 7 different ones about different shit. He's great.
So, we meet the Warriors. There's a big fight scene. There's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, it's your standard affair. It's a children's movie, so it's like no one really dies except for all those villagers off screen, sort of, when they're getting stabbed to death. They totally try to kill Ryan right off the bat by throwing a spear into his fucking backpack. Holy shit. Like, they didn't fuck around. They just saw him, didn't know anything about him, threw a spear in his back. I liked it. I still like it. It doesn't hold up as well as I thought it would have. But I like the set design. It's got some fun moments.
No, it's what I said. If I was 10, it would have been great.
I might have been burnt out on the kangaroo costumes because I just got back from the Batman games, and their mascots, oh my God. They just look like giant paper mache men. And then their mascot is like Baxter the Bobcat.
Yeah,
which, I mean, they're the Diamondbacks. It should, you could just tell they went through a bunch of snake costumes. They're like, this isn't going to work. So there's like Bobcat fine.
What else lives in the desert?
I mean, I don't know. The last half is just a little, maybe it's a little forgettable, you know.
I was going to say, this movie got better or worse after they transitioned.
They should have healed his leg at the end.
They should have.
I don't understand
instead
why.
Of sending him back lame.
Brings me back to Mac and Me is like, they could heal fucking gunshot wounds, but they couldn't make him walk again.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, it's all over. We won. You're still in a wheelchair, though.
Yeah, this is, because when he goes to Tao, his right leg, he can use
it
again.
He can use it
again, sort of like in Lost, when, The guy in the wheelchair lands in the Lost Island. Mm-hmm. He can walk. But yeah, and then when he gets back, he's lame. But of course he learns.
But that's part of the storyline, too.
Yeah,
you're making that,
like,
choice.
You have,
in that, he's making the choice to be lame, to go back lame, or stay here and be.
Yeah.
Right.
And he goes back.
They do address it.
And he chooses not to go across the beam.
Right.
And it looks like he's going to still become friends with them anyway. Did the jock then cross and get washed away?
No, the pipe just broke and he was just stuck there. And they're like, we're going to call the police, right? And he's like,
oh, shit. Okay. Got it. That's right. And then he goes, what? Oh, and then, okay, so before this movie started, before we press play, Dario turns to me and he says, I loved this movie when I was a kid. I used to watch it all the time. And I had it on VHS or whatever, and it was like I'd watch it every week. And I was like, that's awesome. And he goes, there's a quote, and he misquoted it. But in his mind, he thought, there's a quote in here, and I used to say it all the time. Oh, me, oh, my. I've got something to do, guys. See ya. And I was like, okay, I can't wait to hear that line. So we're listening. And at some point, Charlie Brown says... like, oh me, oh my, I've got a Spanish test later. Adios, amigos. And I was like, there we go. So now it's been course corrected in his head to be the correct
Spanish test later.
But yeah, like, oh me, oh my, I got a Spanish test later. Adios, fella amigos, or whatever. And yep, that just stuck in Dario's head. It's weird.
It's amazing the things that stick. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. There's a sequel to this movie.
Yeah.
Directed by the writer of the first movie.
Yes.
Ryan and Chucky.
Well, now the writer of the first movie, screenwriter, because this is based on a series of kids' books that were pre-existed.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a screenwriter.
Who's Chucky? Ryan and Chucky are taken to the parallel universe of Tao, where they learn to
Chucky Charlie?
Where they learn to become warriors of virtue.
Is it Charlie?
Kevin Smith? Oh, different Kevin Smith.
Are they older? It's Charlie.
They're older.
Yeah. Wait.
Well, of course they're older. It's a sequel. They have to be older.
Yeah, wait, what? Oh, and it's looks like it's human warriors of virtue.
I have no idea.
Yeah, they're like, we don't know what we were doing with them kangaroos.
There's probably not the budget for this one as there was, but this was direct to video. So I'm sure the budget was slightly different on the second one.
It looks about...
When the first one lost $50 million.
Yeah, this looks fine.
Maybe it was the kangaroos.
Yeah.
This isn't on Tubi, unfortunately, though.
No. Unfortunately.
Very unfortunate.
Oh, darn.
Oh, golly. And now. Because
we could totally... I'll find it at some point.
Okay. You're welcome to watch it. It didn't even make its budget as a direct-to-video title.
Someone named Kentucky Robinson wrote it. They're known for swimming your... Well, two things. Okay. All right. Any other notes you guys got?
Let's see what I got. I got freaking weird-ass kangaroos everywhere. A cheap hybrid of Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles. Beautiful set, though. Oh, I know one thing. At least they didn't use the white savior trope. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Jesus riding, kangaroo stew, all that crap. Strength is in their cum. Ninja kangaroo flower attack.
Oh, yeah. So the way that they fought was very much like, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Wireworks, ancient Chinese style mystical warrior sort of stuff, which was cool. But you gotta like, I have a little bit of suspension of disbelief because she's like throwing flowers and shit across the battlefield and hitting someone with them, and it's doing like significant damage. Well, the point I was making earlier is those side dudes, those like the Tweedledum, Tweedledee guy, before I got on the whole the Asian chick from X-Men. Those guys were great. They're like full of personality. They're funny. They're bumbling. They're still a little intimidating, just a little bit. But I like it. I don't know.
Well, also, okay. Here's the thing. It's like I might have been a little biased on this movie because this week I was playing listener because I missed the week of Mac and Me. So I watched Mac and Me on Monday night.
Yeah.
And then no TV Tuesday, Wednesday, like working.
You like Andy's little choice of
McDonald's
for here.
And then this week, it was this one. So the only television I watched all week was Mac and Me, followed by this. So, I mean, I'll give it this. It's better than Mac and Me.
Ooh.
What do you think about that?
But I don't know if that's a recommendation or not, because I was sort of lost into Andy's childhood or whatever.
This movie made me miss Slipstream, but I'll give it. It had a good hook. The choreography was good. The set design was good. The ending was just so cheese.
Yeah,
I like the midget Steve Buscemi. That was kind of neat. He's like the only character that really had any kind of arc. He was like a greedy asshole in the beginning, and then he returned the watch at the end and helped them out.
Less of a greedy asshole, yeah.
That lady was cockeyed as hell.
Is she cockeyed in real life? I was going to check. Trying to see if I can... There's a close-up on her face.
They're not going to put that on the cover.
Let's see him.
Remember that movie, Valentine? That horror
movie? It's a hard movie to rate, though, because I don't know whether... You know, if I was 10, I might have really liked it.
Okay.
Seeing it for the first time as an adult...
Wendy Peppercorn.
I don't know. So, I'm going to say... I want to hear your grade, Torch. Because you see it as a 10-year-old. Or you saw it as a 10-year-old, I'm saying.
She is from the Sandlot. That's what she's from. She's the hot cheerleader or the hot lifeguard from the Sandlot that they kiss. Remember that?
With regular eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, she got regular eyes in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're... No, and I guess she got pregnant at some point.
At some point, yes.
All right, so if we're going to grade this thing... Which I guess we have to. Speaking of which, Brendan and I had a conversation earlier, and this whole B through F and W rating system, it's kind of limits us.
You think?
Because it's like a B plus doesn't feel like we're giving something like a good rating. I feel like if people were ever like, oh, what do they think of this movie? Oh, it's a B plus. Like, oh, that's, I guess, good.
It doesn't change anything, though, because it's our rating system. If we chose 5 through 10, and then a 10 being the best and 5 being the worst, I mean, it's the same thing. We're just, that's our
Well, section. It's just the fact, what he says, because everyone else does it a different way, so that's in people's minds. So they hear it, and if you hear it out of context, if you don't listen to the show, let's say we're doing clips. Let's say we're cutting up clips, and they're putting a clip up, and it goes B plus. Nobody knows what the hell that means. That's what he's saying. It's
There's
saying,
also, but then also,
we wouldn't clip a rating, though.
I would. I'm just thinking. Should we have a unique?
I suggested L's. If something's L's? So great, then we give it an L. And then if it's so bad, then we L give it a W. For? L's and L. You know, because it's a flipped version of, you know, win versus lose.
Oh.
He's flipping it. Those same thing. Say you get the same issue.
So L would that? Where would that land?
Would be the best. So.
I get it, because L and W is because we have W. So that right. does give us that extra grade, which I think we need.
Because then we could have a list of L's and W's, and then it's like, we never... you would have to watch the show to know like what L's and W's
are. All right, so we'll incorporate that. I don't know if anyone's going to give this movie an L.
God, no.
And then we would have to retroactively give something that we couldn't give it a better grade, so we gave it a B+. Like, right. Something everyone gave a B+, basically.
What would that be? Not Die Hard. I think, well, maybe Die
Might
Hard.
Might have been Die Hard, yeah.
Could have
Die
been.
Hard was our highest.
There was one, but then freaking Mike skewed the number.
Not me.
Ready to Rumble. We all gave it a B+, and you gave it like a C or something.
No. That's not skewed. That's a B.
You
that's
can good. Kill Michael Larson.
Yeah.
Okay, so Warriors of Virtue, now that we've got the L system locked in place, unnecessarily for this particular episode, but anyway, the sequel's called Warrior Virtue, The Return to Tao, in case you were wondering. And I'm going to give the first one a better score than it's getting on
well, that's not hard
online, because it's an 18% yeah. on Rotten Tomatoes. It lost a little bit of its luster, but there's something about it that still holds a place in my heart. So I'm going to give it a C.
I'd say that's fair with nostalgia, because I give it a D without nostalgia. So that's probably...
Okay, so we got a C, we got a D.
And then I went ahead and gave it a D+.
A C, a D, and a D+.
Would have been like a B- if there were no kangaroos. If it was like lizards...
No kangaroos! The movie existed in a different universe completely.
Could have been lizards or, you know, something other than not kangaroos.
Oh, one weird thing about this movie, though, and it does show in some places, it was the producers that produced this movie had never done another movie. It's the only movie they'd ever done. It's three surgeons whose father is a toy maker.
Huh.
So they're all three surgeons.
Okay.
They're brothers. And they got the idea. I guess he had worked a lot in China being a toy maker. He'd gone back and forth to China for years and years and years. So they got into these Chinese kids' books, which is what these were. Where they got the idea for these was these Chinese... It's an old Chinese story. It's just interesting that these three guys just got together and decided... Somehow came up with $56 million. Made a movie. Most of it from their dad, it said. From the toy maker dad.
Sure.
The money. But because I'm sure he thought, well, hey, if I can make the toys out of it, I'll, you know. And there were toys made. I don't know if they sold.
Oh, the movie didn't, I wish so that I doubt if they, that would be something I'd proudly put up on my fucking shit.
Yeah, I actually meant to go look on eBay and I never did. I'll bet there is eBay figures. I'll bet they're on eBay.
Probably. Here is some trivia. First off, it's Julie Patzwalt's debut, and she, of course, is not even on listed. The fucking list on the thing, so why would it even tell us that that's her? Oh, Merlin, as a recommended...
something similar, right?
So somewhere. Good. Okay, so Ryan quotes two movies, both of which starred Tom Hanks. Houston, we have a problem right. from Apollo 13. And Shit Happens from Forrest Gump.
I don't think either one of those are really movie quotes.
Houston, we have a problem.
I believe Shit Happens has been being said for hundreds of years, and I'm pretty sure Houston, we have a problem was from the actual event.
I like how all the
I don't know if you call it quoting a movie.
So yeah. It's an actual quote.
It's an actual quote, not...
I like how all this trivia is just references to other movies.
Yeah. These Mary Shelton, Terrell Rotherly, Julie Patswell, Kimberly Warner... all appeared in Moment of Truth movies around this time. Shelton appeared with a Warnett in A Secret Between Friends, and Warnett appeared in with Rothery in The Accident, playing... Oh, Jesus, who cares?
Three people found that helpful.
Yeah. Oh, Ricky DeShawn Collins is also in Jack.
Yeah, so is Mario Iannotta. It's like their only movie.
Well, yeah,
it's,
but...
it's his only movie other than...
Who's Ricky DeShawn whatever? That doesn't fucking matter. Anyway, so we have a score for it. Let's get into...
So it's a D, basically. Song.
I put D+.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
I was going to put C-, but I put D+.
Yeah, that's...
So D+, and I'm okay with that.
It's a fair grade.
I'm okay
on our scale.
Yeah.
They make it a C on a normal scale.
I want to watch Merlin so bad. So...
He's checking out to see if it's on there.
Well, let's recommend... next week's movie. I think I have a winner here.
What the fuck? I think I have a winner here.
Yeah. You guys can go first, though. What was yours?
This is a communist country, so I'm just going to say Showgirls again.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. I'm sticking to our deal and doing Spring of Statham.
Okay.
War.
What is it good?
War. Oh. Starring Jason Statham and... we brought him up earlier, Jet Li. That's what I had written down before I ever came here. So,
okay.
Interesting.
Let's see, War and...
Show. I've got it. I've had enough of kids' movies. That's all I can say. If there's anything, if there's anyone under 18 in the movie, I don't want to watch it.
Okay. mine is going to be Southland Tales, which is like a post-nuclear war.
Cops, though, aren't they? Aren't they cops?
No, it's so beyond. I mean, yeah, there's our Sean William Scott Stifler plays a cop who has an identical twin brother who gets caught up in some shit. So they have to use him to untie some of that shit.
What I was thinking of when you said that, I think my mind went to it. I think there's a TV series called Southland Tales.
What year is it?
Well, you're thinking of Southland. The show.
Southland, yes. Yeah, great show.
This one has The Rock in it. It has Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, no, I've not seen this.
It has Sean William Scott. I mean, it's phenomenal, dude. It's like, it's this underrated movie that not a lot of people I talk to.
Did you say it's futuristic?
It's modern day, but I think it opens with a nuke going off in somewhere, like in the middle of the country, and we are dealing with like living in a post-nuclear world.
But it was in modern society. Like modern today's society. Society
yeah, like a post, it'd be like 2016
right.
or 2012 or 20 whatever, right,
whatever
it came
it
out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really good, though. So, this is where voting doesn't make any sense, right? Because...
it just gives me the deciding vote.
It gives, exactly.
Pretty
gives,
much.
Which I don't like.
Okay, let AI decide. Put the three movies in the blender.
Put them in the blender.
Yeah, all right.
Groundhog Day, if it's the Spring of Statham, we get to find out AI. AI looks at its own shadow and runs away or whatever.
All right, I'm just going to do 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, and which one's which?
Because
he does that. It's 1, 2, and 3. Oh,
three.
It was 2. Well, that must have been.
What was 3? My movie.
Okay.
No, wait. What is it?
Oh, one is going to be Southland Tales.
Okay.
Two is going to be...
War.
War. Okay. And then 3 will be Showgirls. Okay.
God, that's a bad movie.
Showgirls?
Yes.
There's titties in it, Mike. What's happening to you, man? That's my childhood.
I would like you to draw a number between 1 and 3.
We have no idea what he typed before that.
Oh,
It's amazing how long it takes to zero. We need a dice. Just.
I drew the number one. Well, look at that.
Look at that. Imagine that.
Yeah. You want to check?
He puts his thumb over what he wrote before.
Look, it says I drew the number one. It says it right there.
All
right,
Spring of Andy it is.
Spring of Andy.
Oh, man, I'm just kidding. I'll do a real one.
The Autumn of Andy.
I did say pick one in the next drawing. Give me a true random drawing, 1 through 3. Let's see if it'll give me one again, knowing that's what I secretly want. No, you're the same,
right?
No, hold on. All right, we're just going to go with Southland Tales.
That's fine with me. I want to see it anyway.
Yeah. You'll like it. It's better than Showgirls.
It's definitely better than Showgirls.
If we're upgrading the ratings,
yeah,
we'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
All right, everyone. So we're watching Southland Tales, just thanks to AI.
How many days thanks do I have left AI on Tubi?
I don't know. That's a good question.
What's that?
I was saying, how many days does it have left? Because sometimes it's really close.
How do you tell?
It usually says something.
If it's the last week, it tells you. On the phone app,
it tells
week
you if it has 2 or 1 days left.
Yeah, no, this is a... Oh, geez, a long movie. I'm sorry. It's 2.5 hours. Mandy Moore. Mandy Moore.
Hey.
Yeah, it's got a great star. Yeah, it's Dwayne Johnson, Sean Michelle... What,
trust me, you guys are gonna like that.
I miss Sean Michelle Gellar. It doesn't do anything no more.
Mandy Moore, Janine Garofalo. It's like all...
Yeah, before a huge 4th of July celebration in L.A., an amnesiac action star meets up with a porn actress and a cop who holds the key to a vast conspiracy.
Huh.
It's pretty good. All right, so that is the movie. Anything else you guys wanted to throw in?
Merch drop coming soon on the Instagram.
Hell yeah. These little Nug Buddies. What are we calling them?
I guess Nug Buddies.
Nug Buddies is good.
Or yeah. Bud Buddies. Bud that buddies, sounds close Nug to Butt Buddies.
Yeah. Well, you can be Butt Buddies too if you buy enough Nug Buddies.
Or Nuglesses. Like Douglas, but Nugless.
Oh, I like that. Nugless.
Many different flavors.
Frederick Nugless. He's the... Like Frederick Douglass?
I forget who that is.
Wasn't he
a president, I believe.
Oh, wait. Was he a president? I thought yeah, he was a black guy.
Oh, no, he is a black guy. Yeah, and you know that... back in those days, though.
Yeah, Frederick.
Back when we had presidents, you know.
Oh, he was an abortionist.
What?
No.
What? Abolitionist.
Abolitionist. Oh, man, I read that too quickly. He's an abolitionist and orator. Boy. He had some hair. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a...
What did he abolish that he's so famous for?
Slavery.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what abolitionists are. Well, this has been a... This has been a fun episode.
Yeah, chill.
Chill. Not too many tangents. One of our shorter ones. We're under an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, yeah.
We do have a show to get to.
We do have a show.
And I'm not complaining because I'm fucking starving.
Oh, nice. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for another episode of Fried Rice Podcast. With me, as always, is Michael. I wish that I knew some magical fantasy-style curse that I could curse him with that would make his ears shrink half an inch every day for the rest of his life until he doesn't have any and he can't hear anything. He's just this weird, earless freak walking around, and then he would kill himself because I think that's the only way to actually take him out, Larson.
That's what Chileo says. Oh, have a good one.
God damn it with the fucking Chileo's thing. With me, as always, it's Austin. Well, he didn't hop here because he fucking hates the kangaroos. So he wanted to be some stupid turtle or lizard or some bullshit. So he slithered 3.5 hours to be here today. And now he's fucking starving. And he's looking more homeless every time I see him. Feral!
Dude, don't cut off my wiener and make it into hot dogs, and don't take away my cum power.
your cum power. I'm your host, Andy Rice. This is Fried Rice Podcast. We've been fried. Now let's make like Tom and Cruise.